All right, we're in the home stretch in this class on premarital coaching, part of our whole series on the different badges that you can earn and take classes to be more specialized in your coaching. I hope this has been helpful to you. Maybe you're a pastor or you're a church worker. Maybe you've taken the officiant class here at CLI and you've had people ask if they would marry you. And now you're being equipped to actually meet with couples and go beyond just planning the ceremony, but actually planning their marriage. But the ceremony is part of that. And so we began looking at the whole weddings, the vows, and then the wedding ceremony, at least the order last time. So the wedding parts are the vows, the ceremony plan, the rehearsal, and the reception. And so we're up to a rehearsal. At least in the United States, we make a plan of, you know, the order of the actual wedding ceremony. You know, this happens, then this, then this, then this. And most couples don't feel comfortable with it. Most people don't feel comfortable standing up in front of a bunch of people. You know, as a pastor, I'm used to it. Okay, it's a weekly thing. But for the average person, they never do it. So you have a couple that they want to get married, and all of a sudden they become the focus of everyone in the room. It's very intimidating. And even though the wedding ceremony is very simple, I mean, I could, if a couple was more secure, I could just say, let's skip the whole rehearsal, and tomorrow we'll do the thing, and you don't have to remember any of this, because I can just lead you along. You know, who gives this woman to this man? Her mother and I. Okay, well, come on up. They come up. All right, we talk about, you know, the meaning of marriage, and we talk about vows. And then I say, okay, share your vows. Okay, now that you've shared your vows, let's exchange rings. Okay, who's got the ring? All right, this ring is an outward and invisible sign, inward spiritual grace. This ring is for you to give. Hand it to them. Okay, repeat after me. I wear this ring as a symbol of my love and faithfulness. They do it. Okay, let me pronounce you a husband and wife. All right, go light the candle. All right, let's pray. All right, here's my message for you. I mean, really, there's nothing for them to remember. There's nothing for them to do. It just flows. And if I, the leader, know what's next, it's going to be no problem. But people are, you know, they want to rehearse. They want to know where they stand. They want to know where everyone else stands. And so people have this sense of a need for a rehearsal. All right. So if we're going to have a rehearsal, I really encourage the couple to plan everything, pre-plan everything about that rehearsal. The order, who does what, who stands where, what is said, what is sung, where everything is, plan it to its minutest detail. Because if you don't plan it, then some relative will step in. And what's worse is you may have two relatives step in, and one says we should do it this way, and one says we should do it that way, and it becomes this big argument, and now the whole family, both sides of the family, are trying to figure out how to do something, and it's total, absolute chaos. So I always tell a couple, look, you know, from the time I say who gives this woman to this man, and, let me introduce you to this new couple. You know, I'm going to take care of some of these things, but you better figure out all these other details, where the flowers are going to be, all this stuff, because if you don't, it'll be total mass chaos. And I've been to wedding rehearsals where it is total chaos. And, you know, I warn them. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not rescuing this. This is your problem. So you reiterate over. You have to have everything down. I mean, where people stand, what's going to happen, the order, who's doing what, or the rehearsal's a disaster. Number two, relieve the pressure. When at the rehearsal time, I always say, you know, we're going to go over things a couple times. You're going to be comfortable with this. And even if you forget everything, it's still going to be okay. Because I haven't. And I can, you know, I can save any situation that we face here. In fact, the things that we mess up will just be good stories 10 years from now that you can tell your children and your grandchildren. relieve the pressure, because there's a lot of pressure, you know, people working towards the wedding ceremony, all the planning, and people are tired, and maybe they're on each other's, you know, the family issues, all these things come out at a wedding. Weddings are really pressure cooker times. So as the coach, as the leader, as the officiant, you want to be the guy that's relieving the pressure. Have fun. So in other words, I'm telling the couple all this, okay? I'm not at the actual rehearsal. We're talking about the rehearsal. So I'm telling them, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to relieve the pressure. And you know what? Let's have fun. The wedding ceremony should be a fun thing. This shouldn't be this stressful thing. You know, and we're afraid of making mistakes. Let's not worry about that. So as an officiant, I'm trying to relieve people. And I'm trying to relieve the couple's anxiety ahead of time. The reception. Okay, let's talk about the reception. What's the purpose of the reception? Number one, to make the occasion of the wedding memorable for the couple and all who will witness it for the accountability to the marriage. So we're trying to make this wedding ceremony memorable for the couple. Oh, that was a great time. Wasn't our wedding awesome? And wasn't the ceremony and the things that we did and the songs that were sung and, you know, lighting the candle and how you held my hand. It's trying to make this memorable, because as a couple goes down the road in their marriage, you know, it's not always easy. And so it's nice to reflect. Remember when? It's good to have that foundation in the past. And you're trying to make it memorable for everyone that was there. Why? So the reality of your connection to each other is like rooted in this event. Oh, yeah, I remember your wedding. We did this, and then we did that other thing. And, oh, that was so cool. And I really, that song that was sung or whatever was unique to your wedding. You want people to remember it because you want people to hold you accountable to this. Hey, remember your wedding? I know you're struggling right now, but remember those vows. Remember the beauty there. Remember, you know, the passion and the commitment that you had back then. Try to hang on to that in this tough situation. Number two, to reinforce to family and friend their own connections. So, you know, you're having a party together, you're doing something together, it reinforces those connections that you have to those people. And it's those connections that you have to the people in your life that ultimately comes back to you and supports you. So that's the whole point in putting all this effort into this thing. To make it memorable, to make it an important thing for the couple, but not only for the couple, but for family and friends whose strength you need in your marriage as you go forward. Well, how do you accomplish this? Well, we accomplish it with food, okay? You know, in the United States, we're spending more and more on weddings. I don't know if we're getting any more for, you know, you could spend a lot of money on the wedding and it still doesn't help the marriage. I think we've gone past the, you know, where all the extra money we're spending is not really helping the marriage last any longer. I think personally, you could have take care of the wedding food by having a potluck. I mean, the way it is now, it's catered in, it's, you know, so many dollars per person, and because of that, people can't invite that many to their wedding because they can't afford it. I would invite everyone under the sun. I don't care who wants to come. Everyone that is connected to me, you're welcome to come, but bring a dish to pass. Why not? I mean, I would enjoy a potluck better than usually whatever the menu is. You know, with a potluck, you get all kinds of interesting food. And if people aren't willing to bring food to support you and your marriage, then what kind of connection do you have with these people? You know, I know most couples are going to go out and cater it and so on, spend a lot of money, but I don't think it adds any value. But food is a good thing, okay? Food is a really great thing. If you look in the Bible, it's always over food that people connect. Even the Lord's Supper was a supper. Heaven is pictured as a banquet. So sharing food is a great way to share experience together. And then fun. Okay? Have fun at your wedding, especially your reception. What's happening, at least in the United States, is the fun is being managed by the DJ. Everyone feels the need to get a DJ that plays music and so on. And the DJ ends up organizing the whole rehearsal. We're going to do this now. We're going to do this now. And it's just all his ideas. Take charge of your own rehearsal. What fun do you want to have with your rehearsal? Fellowship. How do we get people interacting? How do we make this a special occasion? And how is faith represented here? We're not just getting married. We're not just two people getting married. We're two children of God that God has brought together miraculously, mysteriously, for a purpose, for His kingdom. How are we going to celebrate that? How are we going to accentuate that? If someone comes to this wedding, how are they going to know that God is at the very essence and center of this thing? All right, well, how do I accomplish this? I have as part of this course, it's part of the reading, I found this thing on the internet, 45 Wedding Reception Ideas for a Christian Marriage. It's great. It's got all kinds of ideas about what you can specifically do, and even how you can take some of the secular things that happen at weddings, at most weddings, and that Christians are still doing, and sort of transform them into something more useful or more meaningful. So I want you to read that. So, you know, if I was doing this coaching, I would print it out and say, here's some ideas. You can research the internet for other ideas. But try to think about your rehearsal as a means of ministry, not only to you, but to the people that are there. And then finally, write out a wedding reception timeline. Okay, again, what I see in most marriages, at least in the United States, is the wedding reception timeline is written by the DJ. A person who just comes in to do music, and they take over the whole thing. You take it over. If I'm coaching a couple, I would say, you need to be proactive. The reception is where you can make the whole thing worthwhile. The truth is, most people are bored when they come to a wedding. You know, they come to a wedding, they've seen the ceremony, okay, and they go to reception and they have food, you know, food that they can get at any restaurant, and, you know, and then the cake thing and all the things that people do at a reception. Why not make it meaningful? Put some thought into what you're going to do in this reception, and you can do anything. It's your wedding. You don't have to do what other people have done. You know, it's just, you know, follow the crowd and what everyone else has done. Give some unique thought to it yourself. So that's what I would be saying as a coach. All right. So we have one more session together, and we'll be talking about follow-up. So the wedding ceremony, they get married. Okay, they go on their honeymoon. But now they come back. Now I'm going to suggest that you meet with the couple when they come back from their honeymoon, and then come back maybe 6 months later. All right, we'll see you again.